This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Your environment impacts everything. What makes my environment feel good? You don't want to have your office with dead plants around you. Are you feeling creatively blocked? Do you find it hard to work from home and be productive? Are you feeling a lack of inspiration? Or maybe a certain area of your life is feeling a bit stagnant? If any of these things ring true at all, then you're in the right place, because today's episode, I'm talking all about how I harmonize my home to optimize my life. I'm Stephanie Postles, CEO of Mission.org, and today I'm doing a solo episode. So no Albert, just me, because I'm not so sure that Albert would have loved talking about optimizing home and feng shui and colors and all of that. So I said, you know what? I'll just do a solo episode today. I got it. I'll take care of it on my own. So here we are. So harmonizing my home. This became super important when, you know, everyone began working from home quite a few years ago. And there wasn't as much going into an office anymore, meeting as many people in person. And it became kind of a whole new environment, figuring out how do I turn my house into a place of work that inspires, that, you know, is full of creativity, that is really bringing out the same kind of energy and productivity and creativity that I had when I was going into coffee shops, when I was going into an office, when I was surrounded by a bunch of team members. How do I take that and bring this into my house, into my office, which, you know, is really just this small room right here, right near the front of my house? How do I create an environment that really supports the goals that I have and supports the life that I want and supports the projects that I want to get out there? So I started looking into this a lot and just really diving into a bunch of different modalities, a bunch of different areas to figure out what makes my environment feel good. And I will say that this is a very personal thing. What makes my environment feel good maybe won't make yours feel good. So these are just more tips and ideas of here's what's really helped me. Maybe you can give it a shot. Here's kind of the way I think about, you know, creating an office like this and arranging my house and the different things I'm considering when I'm buying things, moving things around, and setting up, you know, most of all for me, a work environment that feels really good. So I've got a few tips that I think are great anyways. And a lot of these tips are coming from a place of knowing that your environment impacts everything. The land you're on, the house that you're in, the things that are all around you, the people that are around you, everything. I mean, we are energetic beings. So everything is vibrating. We are vibrating. Everything is interacting all around together all the time. And so it matters. I mean, environmental psychology, this has been a concept that's been around for a really long time. If you look at feng shui, I think that dates back past probably 3,000 years. So this isn't a new concept. I think it's sometimes slightly described in different ways, but I think there's some core principles that are time-tested and that many people would probably find benefit from. Also, if you are interested in diving deeper into specific pieces of this, in previous episodes, Albert and I have talked about grounding, so the importance of getting outside and getting on the earth and the science behind it and how it's interacting with your body. So we have a whole episode that probably just published on that. And then we also have one about the vibrating nature of everything all around us all the time. So you can go check those out. But today we are focused on harmonizing our homes and some of the things that I do to harmonize my home and my home office. So the first thing that I think is the biggest game changer is also the easiest, which I love. And this is sunlight. Figuring out how to get sunlight into your house and being intentional with it in a way that brings in that life force into your house. So for example, we have it's definitely not a rule, but it's a practice where every day when we wake up, we go around the whole house and we open up all the blinds in the house. It doesn't matter if anyone's in the room, like my kids' room, for example. Some mornings they're not there. I still will go into their room and open up the blinds. So all the blinds have to be open throughout the whole house to invite in natural light, invite in sunlight. And there's a lot of research now coming out. I mean, if you listen to Andrew Huberman, people like that, they are talking about the importance of sunlight. And first thing in the morning, you know, his number one tip is get outside, look towards the sun, get some natural sunlight into your eyes. And he has all the science behind why this really matters and how it really helps set your circadian rhythm. And it's going to help you sleep and it's going to help you focus during the day. And it supports so much, something so natural and so free to so many of us, unless you live in places that, you know, like our producer, Lacey, who's in Alaska. You've got some different challenges there. But overall, if you're in a place that has sun, what a blessing to just be able to have it all around you. Go outside, look towards it in the morning. But most of all, just open up your blinds in your house. It's also interesting when you walk by houses that always have their blinds closed. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but when you're walking around, you know, walking around a neighborhood or something, and you see a house that always has the blinds down, just they're never up. What feeling does that pull out? You know, when you're looking at that house, I mean, to me, I see it as, you know, it's closing off the energies, the abundance. It's not inviting in, any new energy, life force, abundance by keeping yourself closed off to nature like that, to the sun like that. And so for me, that's been such a beautiful practice of just going around, open all the blinds, bring in natural light, and allow that, you know, sunlight energy, I'll call it, that loving sun to enter your house, even when you're not in those rooms, like just blessing your house with sunlight. So that is the first one that I think game changer for me is just getting the natural light in. Number two, I am a crazy plant mom. And I know it. I'm crazy. I love plants. And I didn't fully know why I love plants so much because plants can be a tricky thing. They can die. They can be hard to take care of. They're kind of like having an extra like thing to take care of constantly. And they add so much to the environment. And when I started looking into what plants I wanted and why, I started looking into different meanings of plants and what rooms to put them in and which ones were, you know, going to work for what. And what I came down to is get the plants that work best for your environment and ones that you can take care of that aren't that hard. So a lot of my plants that I have, they are not hard to take care of. And many of them are great for purifying the air. Many of them are great because they symbolize abundance and prosperity and growth. So I have a couple plants that I think most people could have and could take care of that are really easy that I have all around my house, many of which are hanging from ceilings or hanging in front of windows. They're in our bedroom. This one right here, pothos plant, the easiest plant to take care of. And you can constantly off the plant and grow new ones. So one like this is just super easy because you can have propagations everywhere in little cups of water and then turn them into big plants. And to me, that signifies abundance. That signifies generosity. I mean, you have a plant that is so giving that you can just constantly chop off and propagate and put in water and have new ones. And they're so easy to take care of. So that is one example of a great plant. I also love money plants, which, let's see, back here behind me, that right there, that is a money plant. Of course, most people probably know about money plants, but also super easy to take care of. Grows pretty big, grows fast. I think I got that one at Trader Joe's. So that's a great one that's very easy. There's also over here these majesty palms, which are big and abundant. And to me, that is, you know, signifying vitality. They're also very easy to grow as well. And they take up a lot of space. There's also snake plants, which I love because they kind of are sword-like and protective. And I place mine near my front door, these snake plants, because of the protection. They also produce a lot of oxygen in the environment. And super easy to take care of. And the last one are rubber plants. But there's so many plants that are out there that I think are really beautiful. And they add to the environment in a way that is really supportive once you figure out how to take care of them and know that it's just an easy once a week thing. There's also a really good tool that I have that is a great hack for anyone who constantly kills plants, because most people actually, you either don't water it or you overwater plants. And so I have this little, it kind of looks like a meat thermometer. I got it off Amazon. I can link it up in the show notes. And you put it inside the plant and it tells you it's either wet or it's dry. and you know whether you should water it or not. Most plants I'm watering weekly, but for this tool, it was very helpful because some of the plants that I was having a harder time with, it's just because they didn't want to be watered and they're getting too, watered too quickly. So having plants around, I think, is game changing. It's good for the visuals. It's good for the air. It's good for the energetics. And you can place them in certain rooms to enhance certain aspects of your life, which we'll get into in a little bit. The one top tip for plants that I will say that I think some people forget about, they're bringing in all these great plants and they're decorating their rooms and it's looking great. But then they forget that if there's ever any dead plants or dead leaves, you got to get rid of it. So when there's dead plants, which I am also very guilty of sometimes having a little plant over here that's completely dead and hoping it's going to come back and then giving it way too long, way too many weeks of like hope and prayers and then being like, damn, that thing's just dead. Okay. But getting rid of dying plants and leaves like that, because dead things like that represent dead energy, represents death. And so you don't want to have your office with dead plants around you, because you might be like, dang, I'm feeling like just the energy's low. I'm feeling like things are not moving forward. There is not good excitement and inspiration and good, just passion behind things. Well, if you have a bunch of dead things around you, that might be something to look into. All right. So we went through plants. We went through sunlight. The third one, which is some people definitely, you can take this really far, but feng shui is my third tip. Now, I think feng shui, it can be very tricky. I mean, this is a ancient Chinese practice. Like I said, I think it dates back over 3,000 years. And it's all about harmonizing the energy in your home, like the energy flow in your home, which is called qi. And the whole point is to promote health and happiness and arrange furniture and plants and colors and artwork in a way that's going to optimize this energy flow and call things into your life that you want, call in your goals, call in your relationship, your wealth, your prosperity, your health, your, abundance with your family and kids and the things that you can do. All of that is around the energy flow through your house. At least that is what feng shui is all about. And I think feng shui is really interesting because it's not that hard to do if you just focus on specific pieces of it that resonate with you most. And so, for example, one thing in feng shui that really resonated with me was about placing your bed, your desk, and your stove in what's called a commanding position. So a commanding position, when I read about this, you're essentially putting these items placed in a way that you can see the doors. And I started wondering, why would you place it in a way that you could see the doors, like the front door, the back door? The one rule is you don't want to have it right in line with the door, but you want to be able to see it. And I started thinking about it and looking into it more. And this is a very primal recommendation. I mean, if you think about it, everything, in our brain, we still have got that fight or flight. And if we can't see who's walking up behind us, who's coming down a hall, who's coming in our front door, it can keep your body in a state of maybe anxiety, nervous, wondering, is someone walking behind me and I just can't see it right now? And so once I started understanding the method to that madness of to place items like your bed, and I think it's just those three items, your bed, your stove, and your desk in a way that you can see the doors. It really calms your nervous system. So then you can work from a grounded place and not be wondering if something's going to sneak up behind you and attack. So I think that this was an interesting tip for me, where for my bed, I'm like, that makes total sense. I didn't want to not be able to see the bedroom door and know if someone's coming in there. That would just, without even knowing feng shui, I'm like, I want to see the door to my bedroom. Same thing with my desk. I can see out my front yard. I put my desk here because without knowing it, I want to be able to see who's walking up to my house. And then the door is right next to me inside the house. So that makes sense. And then for the stove, I think the stove is a little trickier, but I can see my back door. And there's also some hacks you can do if you're like, I can't place my things in a way that can see a door. If that's true and you really can't move things around in a way that will allow you to see the door from laying on your bed, sitting at your desk, standing at your desk, or cooking at the stove, you can do things like setting up mirrors. So for instance, if you're cooking on your stove and you are maybe looking at a wall and you can't see the doors, you can set up a mirror, kind of like, you know, when you're going through those, some of those driveways and they have the mirror that lets you see around the corner. You can set up mirrors that allow you to position them right at the door. So then you can see the door behind you and you're not feeling like wondering if someone's going to come up behind you, come through your door. So I thought this was really interesting. And, you know, outside of feng shui, of that being, you know, a tip, it's also just resonates with me and that primal nature in me of like, yeah, I want to feel safe and secure to sit here and work or cook or sleep. I want to feel safe. Who knew? So that one was really interesting. The other one that has been really supportive to me that also kind of just came normal to me, but when people walk in my house, they're like, your house feels so flowy. It feels so nice. It feels so open. And the one thing I did to set up my house and my areas that I was working in was always making sure that I didn't block the windows or walkway areas. And so that's just something that I notice when I've walked in houses before, and mine used to be like this, where you would maybe have a doorway to get to, you know, another open room, and then there'd be a couch blocking that. It's not really a doorway, but let's just say there's two poles that it's still a very open living concept, but you've got two poles going up to the ceiling to kind of separate the room a little bit. And then you've got a couch blocking that what could be a walkway, what could be a nice flow of energy and feel very open. And then you just blocked it. Things like that, or putting a really tall couch right in front of a window. So maybe you had a window here and then half of it's blocked and you can't even see out into nature. And the couch is like partially blocking the view and blocking that window. Or if you have a door that can only partially open because maybe a couch is in front of it. Things like that. It's something that I focus on, of like how to create space in my home and a flow in my home that really promotes a sense of space and abundance and flow that feels more inspiring and not like I'm constantly getting blocked or it feels cluttered and like there's too much going on here and there is no sense of like a nice flow. So that is another one that's really important. Along with furniture and where to place things, I will say lighting's been a really big thing for me too. One thing that I think is not helpful is that very white artificial light that is so bright. I mean, you'll see it a lot of times in corporate offices. And I mean, I used to work in many of them. They have that really harsh white lighting. And so to counteract that in my house, I have a lot of, I mean, I guess you could call it ambient lighting, yellow lighting. And as it gets to the evening, a lot of the lights around are actually night lights, like Himalayan salt night lights. I have quite a few of those all around, which I can link up from Amazon. I have one that holds Himalayan salts and has like a circular bulb of for a nightlight. Also, all the nightlights throughout my house are yellow. They're not white. So everything feels more natural and it's just more calming towards the evening and isn't as intense. And even all the lights in my ceilings, like they're not the white light bulbs. They're the more natural. I would have to look up the name of them, but they're more yellow is what the color is. So that's definitely another hack of mine, that those Himalayan salt lamps from Amazon for maybe like, I don't know, $12, definitely really helpful to have around. And I feel like they promote a sense of calm and peace and really, you know, can help get you into the evening after a really productive, amazing day and start calming your nervous system down. All right. The last one that I do want to bring up, that we will have to spend a lot more time diving into this. So today we're just going to go through very high level what this is. Because it is kind of complicated, it does take some time. You do need to know the position of your house and the build of your house. But what I'm referring to is something called the Feng Shui Baga Map. I think I said that wrong. The Feng Shui Baga Map. So essentially, I use this classical Feng Shui map. I think they also call it the Nine Palace Grid. And it's essentially a way to grid off your house. And we can link up a picture of what this grid looks like. But the first step is to figure out when your house was built, when it was completed by. So mine was around 2010. With that, you have a specific map that you refer to based off the time period it was built. And then you overlay this map on top of your house. Let's just say we'll focus on the first floor. Each center of your house or each part of the grid represents something. And so, for example, if your house, the south area, that might represent fame. The southwest area might represent, you know, health. The middle center area is probably balance. This map, to me, was very interesting, especially when there's certain specific assets that I wanted to, or certain specific areas of my life that I wanted to focus on, this map was just fun. It was fun to play with and be like, okay, the southeast side of my house, this whole area represents this one specific thing. Let's just say, we'll call it maybe romance. And so if I want to enhance romance in my life, I need to put things in that area that might activate it a bit and call in some new romantic vibes. And so with that, there might be specific colors to activate that area. There might be specific elements to put there. Maybe it's water, maybe it's metal, maybe it's just the colors of water. There's so many things you can do to kind of amp up a specific area in that grid, that nine palace grid, to enhance your life. And so this to me, like I said, it can get really detailed. There's a lot of specifics. Some people use a more Western square map of this this feng shui map. I don't use that one. The one I use is a bit more complicated. And I think it's pretty fun to be able to just be intentional about what am I focusing on in my life? Whether you think feng shui is real or not, whether you think, you know, this grid is accurate, even just the practice of focus, like focusing on, okay, I really want to call in a mentor. I mean, that's, I think, an area on the grid. I want to call in mentorship. I want to find people who can support this vision I have and help me with this idea. Well, if you know that maybe that area on the grid that's all about mentorship is, let's just call it the West. Like I said, I'm making it up because I need to look at the map and really know. But if you knew that in that part of the grid, all you maybe had to do was put a pothos plant, here you go, put it in that area, put a little green in there to enhance it, and then having the intention behind, I'm focused on this. This is something I'm putting my attention, my intention and my focus into this area, and I'm thinking about it. Just the practice of thinking about your goals and what you want and what you want your life to look like and visualizing it. I mean, that's what all the best, you know, NBA players, football players, I mean, they all have these guided meditations and visualizations and things that they do to win the game, to be the best athlete, to be the best, whatever it might be, the best CEO, whatever you want to be. But having that intention and focus and thought process behind it is step one. And so using this Bagua map was really a helpful way for me to, one, have fun with like, ooh, okay, in the west side or in the north side, I need to add a little bit of this, like a little color or a little protection here, or, you know, maybe I'm going to put this specific plant here. It was fun, but then it also just gave that intentionality behind each specific area and had me think about, well, what do I want? What do I want with my kids? What do I want with, like, you know, the things that we're doing and the way that we interact? And what do I want when it comes to career or abundance? And not just financial abundance, like, what does that abundance look like to me? So it's a really fun practice. We can link up the map, but like I said, it can get complicated. So with any of these things, whether it be the feng shui, whether it be the plants or the furniture placement, a lot of this, you can also just stop and listen to your intuition too and be like, what resonates with me? Maybe it's not this, but it's this instead. Maybe it's not feng shui like that, but I do actually care about colors and artwork, and that makes me feel inspired. Maybe it is thinking more about the lighting and the flow of your house, or maybe it's something completely different. I think so much of this is very personal to what resonates for you and your life and the whole flow of your, you know, your house structure and your work. And I think that these are really good things to consider if, you know, parts of your life are feeling like maybe they don't feel like exactly where you want them to be. The last piece that I did forget to mention as well was around clutter. So for me, clutter causes anxiety. For me, it causes stress. I think for most people, clutter and disorganization and things not being, you know, clean, I think it does something to our nervous systems, to our brains, especially us as women, constantly thinking about, okay, I should be maybe cleaning and doing this. And like, oh, this drawer, I opened it up and it's terrible. Like every time I get a little mini hit of like, oh, why is that so unorganized? Why is that so disgusting in there? And I think those little moments like that can really throw you off from work, from goals, from, I mean, anything. And so that's been something that I've been really focused on for the past 6 months, each day of like, is there something I can declutter? Is there something I can throw away? Is there a way to clean up a space, even if it's one that I don't look at all day? For example, we have this junk drawer in our house that seemed to always just keep compiling random things and paper clips and just, I mean, anything, pens and my kids' stuff. I mean, this little junk drawer was always to the top full with literal just junk and random things. Rocks, money. I mean, you name it, it was in this drawer. And now, even though that drawer sometimes still gets a little built up, I'm a lot more focused on how can I get this organized and cleaned up and how can I just throw a lot of this stuff away? Same thing with my fridge, same thing with our garage. There's just areas of the house that if you can focus a little bit of time to spend decluttering, it really does energetically cleanse the whole house and feel so much better when it comes to now I can, you know, actively work on something and focus and be productive because I'm not thinking about these little things that need to be done around the house. And that those that clutter is not blocking the energetics of what I'm trying to call in. So that was the last piece that I think also is really important and valuable and hard. I mean, it's a constant, you know, practice of keeping up with your house and the things that you bring in. And I mean, the one tip that I will also say has been helpful is every item should have a spot, should have a location. And as I'm buying things, as I'm getting them, I always think of like, if it doesn't already have a spot that it goes in a way that feels good, then I don't want to just bring it in and try and find a spot for it. And that includes clothes. If I visualize my closet and I'm like, I just can't think of a spot right now because it's so full, I'm not going to get it. Shoes, items around the house, whatever it might be. I think I saw a interesting stat that most people in America, at least, the amount of things that they own take up more floor space. Like if you were to take every item you owned and you put it on the floor, the amount of floor space it takes up is like a huge number more than what you actually have. And so that visual to me, thinking about, okay, if I put all my things I owned on my floor all around my house and it was layered on top of each other because I have so many things, that's a problem. Like that visual did it for me where I'm like, I need to get rid of some things and I shouldn't own so many things that it would take up multiple layers of my floor had I spread it all out thin. So those are my rules for harmonizing a home. Just a couple things. I didn't want to get too detailed into the feng shui yet, but if you all like it, please let me know. If you want to hear more about some of the woo stuff I do, which sometimes, you know, I'll go there with you. Some of the crystals I'm setting up, the kind of materials I'm setting up, the energetic clearing processes I'm doing, let me know. I am happy to go even farther into that. I just didn't want to scare you all off too quickly up front and just kind of stay high level with here's some quick things just to think about of how to create an environment that you love. So with that, I hope you all like this. Please hit subscribe on wherever you're listening to this. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button because that lets me know that you like this and you want more. So thanks everyone. And until next time, I hope you have an amazing day.